It's about time you made yourself better. You know, it's a changing economy out there. Why not redefine yourself and visit Shaw Academy? They're the world leader in providing online education, courses in more than 50 countries and 10 major languages. And each month, Shaw Academy educates over 35,000 new students. How about you? Courses like photography, financial trading, web development, social media marketing, mobile app development, sports nutrition, graphic design, fast track business success, and a whole lot more. And because you're listening to my voice right now, you qualify for a discount on tuition up to 98%. Shaw Academy, fully interactive lessons conducted live in all time zones and local markets. And if you miss the live one, the sessions remain available, recorded 24/7 and available to you. Sign up now for as little as $13. Do this for you, for your future. Look for the Shaw Academy button on our sponsors page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Click on it and get ready to start learning today at Shaw Academy. What is it about the way Americans eat? You know what I'm talking about. You're craving that fast food burger with all the mess on it. You're craving it right now, aren't you? Well, let's get into your head a little. Joining us now is a food writer and program director at the Culinary Institute of America, author of the new book, Devoured, From Chicken Wings to Kale Smoothies, How What We Eat Defines Who We Are. Sophie Egan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Clearly, Sophie, you've given some thought to how, what, and why Americans eat. But isn't the answer to why a pretty easy one to answer?
It's not such an easy one to answer. That's why I had to write a whole book about it. But I think that is, to me, one of the main factors that distinguishes this book from others, is it is not a book of what to eat or what not to eat, or, you know, the perfect miracle diet. This is an exploration of why we eat what we eat and how we eat what we eat.
But not so why we eat. That's the one where I was thinking, okay, there's an easy answer to why we eat.
That is much more straightforward. The what and the how, they get a little trickier.
Yeah. Now, you know what? Growing up in a suburb of Los Angeles, there were maybe a half dozen actual sit-down restaurants, a couple pizza joints, and there was a McDonald's, a Taco Bell, a Burger King, and a Jack in the Box. Now, there are easily five times the restaurants and triple the fast food, but the population in my old town is more or less the same. Do we need all those places to eat?
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, I can't address whether or not we need them, but we certainly are relying on them more than we used to. Last year, a stunning statistic came out that Americans spent, for the first time since 1992, which is when the Commerce Department started tracking this, the first time we spent more money at restaurants and bars than at the grocery store, which means increasingly we outsource the preparation of meals to the professionals in the industry. So that doesn't surprise me that there are more restaurants that are getting in on the action, right? And you also see this in grocery stores. There's much more real estate being devoted to prepared food. Some of the grocery stores have become like little, you know, mini restaurants in themselves with the food courts and so on.
Now, what is it about us here in American society that convinces us we need that convenience? So that we're done. We're not going to get in the kitchen and cook up a meal anymore. We just need it prepared for us. I mean, are we a lazy bunch or is it something else?
It's certainly much deeper than that. In the book, I describe how much of this is driven by lack of time. And when you look at how we spend our time, there's a lot of different things. But a big one is work. We work harder than, you know, the global average of major developed countries, and we always have. But now we're outworking even ourselves, about 200 more hours per year compared with about a generation ago. And so that just doesn't leave a whole lot of time during the work week, certainly, for cooking food. We spend the least amount of time of any of the major developed countries cooking our own food, and the least time eating. So we eat on the run. You know, we squeeze food in between all of our activities. We are busier than ever, and that's certainly driving a lot of it. Another factor is that more people are living alone than they used to. About 10 times as many Americans ages 18 to 34 live by themselves compared with 1950. And I don't know about you, but I don't like cooking for one. So that's no. Definitely a factor as well. But I'm encouraged by some interesting examples that are emerging kind of to try to turn the ship around here, such as Meal Prep Sunday. This is a hashtag where you can get all kinds of great ideas on Instagram for kind of what it sounds like. making a point of cooking on Sunday for the week ahead, because the pace of the work week is just so hectic that many of us, the only time we do have a chance to really get in the kitchen and get our hands dirty is on the weekend. So some people are finding some great ideas there with, you know, jar salads and other bowls that they prepare and eat it in different dishes throughout the week.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Well, on Sunday, it's a lot of work, yeah. But
right.
Then, you know, hey, then you have a fresh-made meal on Wednesday that you're pretty excited about.
We're talking with Sophie Egan. Her book is Devoured, From Chicken Wings to Kale Smoothies, and the book talks about what we eat, why we eat, the motivation behind all of that. And when we eat out, generally, we're not eating healthy. And I know how you can tell, because the food is delicious. And it's been drilled into my head that stuff that's delicious is full of fat and butter and sugar, and I should be ashamed of myself for eating it. So maybe it's not the case in every case.
No.
But right? We're obese for a reason, and it's because we're all eating out all the time. Isn't that right?
Well, I certainly disagree that delicious equals unhealthy. I know what you mean. Definitely certain foods that are, you can taste the decadence, and I think we know which ones those are. But, and it is true, certainly, that meals on average that you eat out are less healthy than what you might prepare for yourself. So the portion sizes might be bigger because they want to assure you that you're getting your money's worth. They'll likely use more salt than you would put in if you were, to make it yourself. So there's definitely some concerns about the frequency with which we're eating outside of the home. But I am excited by fast casual restaurants and other prepared foods providers who are making food that is positively delicious and just happens to be good for us. So there are some out there who are recognizing that we're eating out more than we used to, and it's no longer just a special occasion. And so what they want to do is make it so that, since this is more of a lifestyle and a habit, that if we're eating there more regularly, we're not doing damage to our health in the long run.
Yeah. Now let's amplify the whole idea that Americans love unhealthy food. I love fast food. I mean, some of it I consider my comfort food. And, you know, I know what I wanted to ask you. What do you think of these weird concoctions? For instance, Taco Bell keeps coming up with, I don't know, the spicy Dorito party dip tacos, and Carl's Jr. with the hamburger creation of the month with the sprayed down half-naked burger babe in the commercial devouring that burger in slow motion. I mean, this goes right to the heart of what we really do want to eat, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does. And the U.S. is certainly unique with these stunt foods, as I describe in the book. Doritos Locos Tacos from Taco Bell is one of the best-selling fast food items of all time, selling 100 million in 10 weeks, completely unprecedented. And these play to a couple of different powerful psychological elements. One is this fake sense of scarcity. You know, they'll often have a limited time only. The McRib is another one, you know, where it's fear of missing out, or FOMO, if you don't hurry in now, you'll miss it forever. And that plays to this feeling that we have as Americans to use our time very productively. So we want to sort of check off items on our mental bucket list or an experiential resume, as I describe in the book. And so some of these stunt foods feel like a way to live a really, you know, full and exciting life. But of course, most of them are utter nutritional train wrecks that used to only be reserved for kind of state fairs, you know, the fried butter on a stick.
Yeah.
But now these R&D departments are cranking out all manner of these. And really, to me, they're the physical equivalent of clickbait, things you never would eat otherwise.
You know what? One thing that bugs me are some of the trends out there, like gluten-free. Well, once a majority of people get on board something like that, a study is published in the Journal of Stuff You Should Go Ahead and Start Eating Again, saying that gluten may not be so bad after all. And no wonder we're psychotic about eating in this country.
Yeah, this is such a big topic, absolutely. It's very difficult to distinguish the latest headline about a new nutrition study. The real issue here is that, in reality, most of the evidence about what's healthy has been relatively unchanged. But many reporters, frankly, are kind of irresponsible in saying, oh, this new study means all the previous stuff that we thought is no longer true. And that sounds these alarm bells that get people to think, oh, well, to hell with all of it. You know, I'll just ignore all of the advice. But gluten-free is a good example where there actually is not scientific evidence that the majority of people should be avoiding gluten.
Yeah.
The books that have been launched by doctors, though, and that feels like, oh, there must be all this evidence. But the reason that you're having on the other side all these nutrition experts and others sort of saying, hey, calm down, there are not studies about that, is that that was basically fear-mongering that was meant to sell books. And unfortunately, these fad diet books are hugely best-selling. So it definitely leaves many of us kind of scratching our heads.
Yeah.
But armed with this greater understanding that I hope people can gain through reading Devoured, you can start to see that these patterns repeat themselves. And this is just the latest manifestation of kind of nutrient-centric approach and looking at latest food labels. But mostly the boring but timeless everything in moderation still applies.
And when you read through the book, the only conclusion you could come to is, we're nuts, aren't we?
Well, we certainly have some wacky ways. I would agree with that. And we're full of contradictions. But I do hope the takeaway is also that it's a really fantastic place to be an eater in the U.S. because we're a nation of immigrants. And we have this melting pot cuisine that creates all kind of interesting culinary creations like Korean tacos or California rolls, things that you don't get to experience anywhere else. So on the flip side, there's this open-mindedness that means we get to experience a lot of really delicious, exciting food.
The book is called Devoured, From Chicken Wings to Kale Smoothies, How What We Eat Defines Who We Are. Sophie Egan, thanks for writing the book, and thanks for spending some time to talk to us about it.
Thanks so much for having me, Phil.
All right, a little transition here for you. We have some disturbing news. The number of children with chronic health problems is on the rise, and we're going to find out why and what you can do about it when Dr. Dahlia Wax joins us in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Lunar Pages, you know who they are? This is a company that if you're a business, if you have a large, small, or in-between size business, you need Lunar Pages for scalable web hosting. They have business hosting packages starting as low as, I don't want to even quote it, because I want you to check it out yourself, but it's so low, it's going to save you a ton of money, and they're the best in the business with all the tools, scripts, and support you need to run an efficient and secure business website. They have something called Secure Live. It's their patented website hack protection service that continually monitors your server and stops hackers before they get in. They have hundreds of scripts for you to use for your business, all the language support that your developers require. And here's the thing I like the most about Lunar Pages. Their support team is right here in the USA, very often in your own zip code. You give them a call and they can dial right into your server and fix whatever it is you need fixed on the spot. Look for their button on our sponsors page, philhewlettandfriends.com. Click on it. You'll receive deep discounts exclusive to my listeners and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Lunar Pages. Go check them out. All right, now we want to talk about something that I find disturbing. The number of children coming down with chronic health conditions is way up. I don't know why, but our next guest probably does. She is the host of a nationally syndicated show called the Dr. Dahlia Show. Maybe you've heard of it. She's a practicing physician and an accomplished comedian. It's not a funny topic we're talking about here, but we can have a smile while we're figuring out the issues. Dr. Dahlia Wax, welcome to the program, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know what? I don't know if you're seeing this in your practice, but it's national news, and I don't know. What kind of chronic conditions are kids coming down with, and what do you think's behind the increase?
Yeah, no, I think it could be a variety of things. You know, one is, I think we are over-purifying things. We're over-purifying water. We're using hand sanitizers. We're not letting our kids get dirty in the mud. And these are things that it's hard to say as a physician because you don't want kids to get staph infections or dirty or you know, you don't want kids to get staph infections or fungus or viruses, et cetera. But I'm just wondering if maybe we are not training the average child's immune system. You know, my kids, you know, played baseball for a little bit, and I hardly ever had to wash their uniforms. They were, like, clean. And, you know, when I grew up, their baseball uniforms were muddy.
Yeah.
And so there's a problem there. I think we're raising our kids differently.
Yeah, we don't want our kids to fall down and get hurt and start crying. I mean, it's going to ruin them for the rest of their lives. But rather, when we were kids, we'd grow up, and we used to get barefoot and slide in the newly wet and fungus-covered gutter, we used to slide along the gutters, you know, in our bare feet. And sometimes we'd get cut and we'd be bleeding and all that scum would get into our feet. And nothing bad happened to us. And we loved it.
Remember the Maturichrome? Our parents would put that pink stuff on our knees.
Yeah.
We would be going to school with pink stuff. Now we don't do mercury because of mercury poisoning. But, I mean, you know, we would just – and then the dog. The dog would eat part of your hot dog, then you would eat the hot dog. And the dog would have another bite, then you would. We don't do that anymore.
No. But we'll kiss our dog because we don't want our dog to get psychological problems if we, you know, if we shun their advances.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the antimicrobial soaps and the hand sanitizers, these are things that are breeding a new resistant form of superbug. So what ends up happening is as you wipe the counter, when you have all the bacteria killed off, and you think that's happening, but some of the bacteria, I guess, you know, wake up and go, wait a second, it didn't kill me. They make progeny. They make baby bacteria that are not resistant to the Purells and the antimicrobials. So we're breeding this super type of bacteria that these kids now, whose immune systems were never designed to withstand, are now breeding. We have new worlds that our kids are into, and they were never designed for that.
Now, is there a way to reverse this? I mean, here's one way that I would suggest, because I'm just a big dummy, but do we pick, out of the three meals a day, do we pick one meal where everybody does not wash their hands before they sit down to the table to eat?
You know, that's a good one. I mean, I don't know if that's going to do it. You know, I think, like, all of a sudden we have peanut allergies. How are kids allergic to peanuts? I mean, we, you know, all we did was eat peanut butter growing up. You know, how come we, I don't know. I think the damage might have already been done.
Yeah, and it seems like one out of five kids has some kind of allergy like that.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
So if the mom, while pregnant, like while the baby's in utero, if the mom eats all of these foods that may suddenly become a high allergens for kids, does that help at all? Help them build that into their developing little bodies?
You would think it would, but we don't know. We don't have enough studies where moms who ate peanut butter and then their child was allergic to peanut butter, we don't know if they caused it or if mom just ate peanut butter, then the child, that would be the easiest fix, wouldn't it? Mom, eat peanut butter so that your kid isn't allergic to peanuts. It makes perfect sense. But unfortunately, you know, nobody studies it because you can't get a bunch of pregnant moms to, you know, be rounded up to do these studies because, you know, obviously nobody wants to hurt their baby.
Yeah.
Chicken.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, if we don't do anything about it as families, I mean, what can a microcosm of the entire society do in terms of affecting change, really? But as a society, is there anything being done about this, or have the ponies gotten out of the corral and they're way down in the next county and it's too late?
Well, I think what's going to happen is as we see the changes with healthcare, where pharmaceutical companies are being less incentivized to make new drugs, what we're probably going to do is have, we're going to probably see scientists and researchers get innovative on ways to attack these new superbugs. And so what we would probably do is maybe do light, like zapping them with light or zapping them with lasers or that type of technology. So there's a chance that we may push forward and be able to figure out other ways to attack bacteria beyond the antibiotics, and that could let us regrow the bacteria we need to and not keep developing these superbugs. So there's a chance the pendulum could swing back, but we need to be very, very innovative. And we also need to learn to embrace our bugs. That's why there's all these studies now talking about gut microbiomes. It turns out the reason why a lot of us not only have chronic disease but are overweight is because we've killed off our bacteria. We need to get our bacteria back.
Yeah.
And so one way to do that is to embrace the dirt. So,
yeah. Embrace the dirt. That's the thought we're going to leave you with right there. Dr. Dahlia Wax, thank you very much, and continued success to you and your show, the Dr. Dahlia Show. A pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for the information.
Anytime.
Yeah. Hey, this weekend some big movies are hitting your local Cineplex, and we're going to hear from Manny the Movie Guy. He's seen all three of them. We think he has, and he has a very strong opinion about at least one of them. In fact, it might make you angry to hear about it. He joins us in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.